Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Hello, glad you could join us again. This is Ecclesia Principles, which are, if you would, God's rules for government. The word ecclesia is the word that was used for the legislative body of the Greek city-state. And that's the word that Jesus used in Matthew 16:18 when he said, "On this rock I will build my ecclesia, I will build my church." At that point, what Jesus was saying is, I'm going to have a group of people who will influence the culture. Legislation, legislative bodies, do more to affect a culture than any singular group. They do. When you see a law change, especially some that are more controversial, you will see the society begin to move, especially if it was this way and it moved over to here. And so things just begin to change at that point. Legislation is hugely impactful on culture. And Jesus wants us to be culture builders. But if we're going to build a culture that is pleasing and honorable to God, we have to understand his principles. So we're calling this Ecclesia Principles. Now, today, we're talking about principle number 6, protect the family. If we're going to build the type of culture that God would like, the nuclear family particularly, and any other version thereof, would have to have protection. Have to have protection. Studies show that the nuclear family is really the best environment for kids overall. Now, again, with that, we're talking about some generalities here. Obviously, every nuclear family is not a positive thing or a good thing. But it, by and large, every type of situation, the nuclear family is ultimately the best. And so we need to protect that. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, we see that God put onto the parents the responsibility and right to teach their children. It says, beginning in verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." He tells them to do it. He didn't tell Moses to do it. He didn't tell the elders of Israel to do it. He told the parents to do it. Talk to your children. We have to protect the family. And as we've said, government / politicians are downstream of self-government, family government, and church government. The problems that are in self-government, family government, and church government, you will see them in civil government. They will show up there because those in civil government come from these groups. They come from these groups. So whatever problem is here will show up here. So if we want to fix government, we got to go back and start fixing these things. And a big part of it is the protecting of the family. Now, today, I particularly want to talk about some things that have to do with the health of the family, things that we have to be aware of, things that have to be taught that are beyond thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, that we have to build these things into our family. We have to build them into our culture. First off, I want to look at how the health of a nation and that nation's families, that society, how that is measured.
We'll be right back after this break.
Jesus said, "I will build my church," or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
If you would, these are social indicators regarding the family and its strength. And there's 8 of them. I'm going to go through them kind of quickly here. But number 1 is the divorce rate. Divorce rate shows the strength of families, shows the strength of self-government, shows the strength of family government at that point. The higher it is, the bigger problems there are in self-government, the bigger problems there are in family government. Therefore, there are bigger problems with the children. Then number two is the abortion rate. That's a reflection on self-government, family government. Number three, out-of-wedlock births. Because at that point, if the divorce rate is high, then you begin to have people who don't want to get married. Children are born outside of marriage. The higher that is, again, it is an indication that there are problems within that society, that that society is not functioning well. Because the reason people don't want to get married is because families aren't working well. Number four, juvenile delinquency. In other words, teenagers that are not, they have not learned self-government. They haven't learned to control themselves. They haven't learned to manage their own emotions. Why? Because mom and daddy didn't control their emotions in the family. And then they got fussing and fighting with each other, and the children learned just to look out for themselves like mom and daddy were doing. And so I'm just using that as one illustration, not that every situation fits that. Number five, crime rates. Again, that's following off of that last one. If self-control is not learned, if self-government is not learned within the family, then crime rates increase. Again, showing a breakdown within the family, a breakdown within the society. Number six, welfare rolls. In other words, people that are not either able to take care of themselves or refusing to take care of themselves. It could be either one. I've seen both. And with that, the higher that is, then again, there's problems with self-government and family government that's creating that issue. And then number seven is educational levels. Now with this, we're in a different place right now than we've been for a while. And that is that college education costs have been soaring. And it used to be, well, you know, go to school, go to college, get you a job. Well, the cost of that is actually prohibitive for some people as far as whether it's worth it based on the job that they're doing. And so, but a person still needs to increase their learning. You have to be a lifelong learner. The value of education is extremely important. And if there are not signs that education is valued, then that society is going to suffer. It's going to take on, you know, today one of the things that's growing is apprenticeships. That was, you know, it used to be a thing long ago. And then, you know, college kind of replaced that. Well, now you have more apprenticeship type programs starting to pop up in some of these things where the college education is not actually going to benefit a person for this job. It's cost prohibitive. It'll put a ton of debt on them. But you can go into this apprenticeship program and do very well. Those things are growing, and that is a good thing. That has to do, again, with a positive educational level. Then number eight is generational momentum. Basically setting it up so that the next generation can start off better than the last generation. That we hand it off to our children at a place better than life was handed off to us. And that's extremely important because, especially today, there's so much going on that is hindering people from being able to really give their kids a better start in life. The percentage of people that are able to do that today is dropping because there are so many things aligned politically and socially against generational momentum. So I want to take some time to talk particularly about that last one because it's something that this might be the first time you've ever even heard that term, generational momentum. And if you haven't heard it, That's part of the problem.
We'll be right back after this break.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
And I'm not blaming you. What I'm saying is we have to understand that. The bottom line, if you would, the wealthy understand generational momentum. And right now, there's so little being done to help anyone else, any other economic level, create generational momentum, that it's hurting kids. It's hurting families. And really, the lack of generational momentum is the biggest factor in the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. Generational momentum is really the biggest factor in that right now, outside of inflation. Inflation magnifies it. It's a whole nother subject. You know, it aggravates me when the economy is doing well and people start, oh, the rich are just getting richer. The time the rich get richer and the poor get poorer to the greatest extent is a time of inflation. And during times of inflation, they never discuss it. They virtually never discuss it because they just want to do a handout. They want to do this. We care for you. We're really not trying to make you better off. We're really just trying to make you happy with being dependent upon us. So let's talk about generational momentum, because if I get too much further on that, we won't get back. Anyway, what are things that facilitate generational momentum? Now, I want to say one more thing before it does have to do with generational momentum. There's been two policies in our nation that have been the most detrimental to generational momentum within a sector of our country. Number one was slavery. Slavery destroyed families, because, again, our topic is protect the family. Slavery destroyed so many families. The second thing that has hurt so many was Lyndon Johnson's Great Society and all the things that got passed with that. That has been the second largest impact. And if you would, in modern times, it has had the greatest impact on destroying families. Because if you go back to the time of the 60s when that was put in, and particularly if you look at white families and black families, and you look at those things that we just talked about, primarily out of the eight, there was probably six of them. There were six that you could really identify collectively with both groups. The divorce rate was the same largely for blacks and whites. Abortion rate was the same for blacks and whites, roughly. Out of wedlock births were virtually the same. Juvenile delinquency was virtually the same. Crime rates in blacks and whites, virtually the same. Welfare rolls, virtually the same. Percentage of population, so forth. Now, educational levels and generational momentum, those were some tough calls, especially in the black community, because a higher percentage of them were poor, so that limited both of those. But all those others were virtually the same. Here, 60 years later, 60 years of experience with that great society, which is anything but the great society, because there were a higher percentage of blacks in the poor ranks, and what that has done to even increase the difficulty to have generational momentum, divorce rates there are higher, abortion rates are higher, Wedlock, out of wedlock births are higher. Juvenile delinquency is higher. Crime rates are higher. Welfare rolls are higher in the black community. It wasn't that way before the Great Society. The Great Society created that problem. It magnified that difference. There was virtually no difference between those two people groups until the Great Society. Johnson pushed through the equal rights, but payment was made for that. And that payment has destroyed the black families of our country.
We'll be right back after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
It has destroyed them, and that creates a whole other problem today. But it is important that we're able to facilitate generational momentum, and laws have a lot to do with that. Again, that legislation around the Great Society was such a destructive force that with all of the divorce rate, abortion rate, out of wedlock rate, the delinquency, crime rate, all those things going up, that has decreased to an even greater degree the black family's ability, percentage-wise, to have generational momentum. And that's creating a lot of issues in our country. But we have to understand, so many people fail to understand, let me put it that way, so many people fail to understand that this has been a problem created by legislation. The two people groups were virtually the same prior to this legislation. Legislation created this. That's why we have to engage with godly principles in government so that things like that can't happen, so that they change. Now, with it, again, what you said, what can I do to help facilitate generational momentum in my family? Number one, overcome generational sins and weaknesses. If your family's had a certain habit or a certain problem, work on that stopping with you. Work on stopping that with you so that it does not pass on to your children, that you can start them out in a better place. Now, governmentally, less burdensome inheritance laws and levels, that helps generational momentum. I mean, you pay taxes all your life. Why do you have to pay some tax on dying as well? You know, as they say, they get you coming and going, literally. And then number three, enhanced educational levels and social mobility. In other words, with your children, teach them the value of education. Again, college is a little bit different situation with a lot of folks right now because of the cost. Education is valuable. Being a lifelong learner is extremely important. Pass on to your children and your grandchildren the value of learning. That's the biggest piece of this, the value of learning. And then secondly, social mobility in that. Enhancing that social mobility. Help them learn to engage in various settings. So many people just function within one lane and they can't get out of that spot. Help your children, help your grandchildren have more social mobility. Function effectively in various settings. Again, all that comes down to really being a lifelong learner. What's of interest to that person? How to carry on a conversation? These things help generational momentum. Number four, encourage higher savings rates, lower debt, and pass on stewardship management skills to the next generation. You see, those are things so many parents really don't teach that to their kids anymore. They'll say, well, you need to save money. Talk to them about why. When my kids were early teens, you know, and this is a fact, you can look it up. Based on, this is S&P 500, if a 15-year-old put in $2,000, got a part-time job, worked, put in $2,000 a year for 8 years, then never put another dime into S&P 500 index fund. Historically, and this is like over a 120-year period, includes the Great Depression, all the crashes, Black Friday, all those types of things are in that. Then by the time, and never put in another dollar, it's $8,000, by the time they would turn 65, they would have roughly $1.3 million. That's crazy. I wish I knew that when I was 15. But those are things I talked about with my kids. We have to teach the value of savings. I told my kids, people use the phrase, time is money, thinking, you know, so many hours, so much money. I said, that's not what it's talking about. Time is money. Because, you know, the rule of 72, I'm getting too deep into some of this right now. But the rule of 72 deals with the interest rate, and you divide that rate into 72, and it tells you how long it takes that money to double. So if you 6% takes 12 years, 6 into 72 is 12, takes 12 years for your money to double at 6%. Well, the thing of it is, every 12 years it doubles. Every 12 years. At 8%, it doubles every 9 years. Well, the thing of it is, after it's doubled a few times, it still only takes 8 years for it to double. So, you know, doubling 10,000 into 20,000 is good, but doubling 200,000 into 400,000 in 8 years is even better. But to do that, you have to have time. Time is money. You have to put money in savings and give it time. And by that, I'm not talking about a CD. Though, see your advisor on that. I am not an advisor. But you need to learn these things. Teach lower debt, stewardship management skills. Teach those to your children. Now, I want to give this really quickly because we're out of time. But what are other things to teach? Teach the power of self-discipline and self-government. Teach the power of team play. Learn to discipline yourself. Learn to control yourself, self-government. Learn to interact with other people. Then thirdly, the power of conflict resolution and problem solving. When you interact with other people, you're going to have problems. It's not always going to go well. But how can you learn to fix those effectively and efficiently? Not learning to do it hinders generational momentum. Being effective at it increases generational momentum. The power of managing money wisely, that definitely accelerates generational momentum. The power of effective communication. You know, I know some people thought we were difficult on our boys in some ways, but even by the time they were 3 and 4 years old, if we went into a restaurant, I had them order their own food. I didn't order for them, and I'm not saying anybody's going to do what I did. But I had them order their own food. I talked to them about the fact that they needed to look that waiter in the eye, communicate to them, look at them, talk to them, speak clearly, speak loud enough they can hear you. Effective communication really enhances generational momentum. The power of knowing what you believe and why. It's not good enough just to go, well, that's what we believe. You need to talk to them about why. What you believe and why. We have to pass that on. We have to teach that. And the power, the effect that we'll have. And then the power of management and strategic thinking. We have to think strategically. Life goes by every day. The sun rises, the sun sets. And sadly, so few people have a plan. So few people are thinking strategically about what's going to happen this week and how this week can help us for next week. And because of that, generational momentum is slowed and sometimes brought to a grinding halt. We have to impact the next generation, especially with generational momentum. And it's the responsibility of parents to teach those principles to the children in order to protect the family. God bless you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.